You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Not sure what to get your favorite Browns fan? Shop.clevelandbrowns.com. The official online pro shop for the Browns has the best selection of merchandise for fans of all ages. Over 2,000 items in stock. Visit shop.clevelandbrowns.com today. We're talking the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, Joe Montana. Joe Montana getting slaughtered, by the way. All this recency bias out
My
here.
My vote should count for more than one, does it not?
And mine should count for more than one.
Absolutely.
It's our show.
This is our show.
Yeah, seriously. Well, we're going to bring in another member of our team, Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew, we'll start right off the top with this. Who is the greatest quarterback of all time, Joe Montana or Tom Brady?
Or neither.
I've been thinking about this through the entire break, and you know, maybe it's because I'm too young to fully appreciate Joe Montana, but
apparently
I'm going with Brady because of what.
Get out of here!
I like the fact that he had the gap between the third Super Bowl and the fourth Super Bowl. I think the fact that he's been able to stay consistent through that entire time and then come back and play like he did in this past Super Bowl against a very good defense, best defense in the NFL. I'm gonna go with Brady.
Go with Brady. All right. He's going with Brady there, as many people are. Very interesting. Very interesting. I think that there's recency bias. There's a youth factor going on. I think the fact that he went as long as he did without a Super Bowl doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything to anybody. Joe Montana just won four of them in 9 years.
So
big deal.
So Tim Duncan winning one after that long. You know, most people would say the consistency to have a career that spans that long is a check mark in their favor.
It is a check mark in his favor. He should have won. Well, they went undefeated in 2007, but they couldn't get it done. They couldn't win the big one. Couldn't win the big one. For 10 years, could not win the big one. Joe Montana never had a drought that long.
I'll stick with the fact that it's kind of a cliche with New England, but the guys he's been surrounded with and made into great players, I'll go back to that. And I know, you know, Montana did that with two.
Yeah. He's got the best coach of all time in Bill Belichick.
Now you're down on Bill Walsh. A minute ago, you were given
I said
paying
Bill Walsh
homage.
Is a saint. I am paying homage to him, but I'm saying that in my opinion, Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. He is the master strategist. He's the greatest coach of all time.
And coaching the greatest quarterback of all time. It's a great match.
No.
Kid, does Brady go back to another Super Bowl before he retires?
Yes.
Does he win it?
Coin flip.
If he's the greatest quarterback of all time, why would you even have any doubt that he's going to win the Super Bowl?
Well, because only one team wins every year.
If you told me Joe Montana was going to go play in another Super Bowl, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to win because that's all he does is win.
Yeah, but
he
wouldn't make it to another Super Bowl.
He took – come on. Unbelievable.
How many Super Bowls did Joe Montana make it to?
Four. And
how many
did
Tom Brady make it to?
Six.
How many AFC championship games has Tom Brady
Do you think that Tom Brady's played in a tougher AFC than Joe Montana played in an NFC?
I don't know. I'd have to study it. You know that he's played
Giants? Bears, and then at the tail end is when you had the Cowboys dynasty.
Okay, so he's played against Pittsburgh. He's played against Baltimore. Has been tough. Those are two teams that have won Super Bowls. You're saying they're not in your head.
Indy with Manning?
Peyton Manning has been in the AFC his entire career.
Worst postseason
quarterback
of all time.
You're not going to hear me.
The guy's got a losing record in the playoffs.
I'll pose a question here just because we mentioned Tim Duncan, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady in the last minute. You know, Duncan gets rested a lot during the season, and that pays off in the end. Are we at the point of the career where Brady and Manning, is there any selective resting, or is every week too important in the NFL? Or it just can't happen?
Like, you really can't even mention. You can't even mention Manning with Brady anymore. I think that's one thing. You know, I'll give you that it can be an argument with Montana. You want to make the argument. But anybody that wants to sit here and say Peyton Manning over Tom Brady.
Peyton Manning's the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. That's it.
Congratulations for that. And by the way, his winning percentage in the regular season is not as high as Tom Brady's.
Statistically speaking, he is the greatest regular season quarterback of all time.
Yes, he is. And as being an anti-Peyton guy his whole career, it's tough to root against him in the regular season. But, boy, I get a smile on my face when I get to wager against him in the playoffs.
If such things were legal in this country. Let's go to John in Yorksville. John, welcome to the show.
I'm going with Joe Montana. There he is.
Yeah!
Now, I have a comment. I'm a season ticket holder of two season tickets for you two spin doctors. I'm going to the IX Center tomorrow to let Mr. Hoyer know how much you keep disrespecting him on the air. You can't even mention his name without bashing him. Your D-plus rating was pathetic. You Johnny Holmes are the only two that even want him. He has nothing to do with being from Cleveland, Mr. Wilhelm, has nothing to do with that. It's all about winning. 10-6 is a starter. first Browns quarterback to throw for two straight 300-yard games since Brian Sipe, led four comeback victories, including one in 44 seconds, and one went and down in NFL history as the biggest comeback road victory of all time. He had a 90% quarterback rating before Gordon showed up.
Are you related to Brian?
And he had, shut up, he only had five interceptions until Gordon showed up. These are the facts. So you guys quit bashing him. We're just sick of it.
Oh, Gibbs, why'd you cut him off?
What about the fact that he's the least accurate quarterback in the NFL? That's a fact, my friend.
It is a fact, and that was a fact before Josh Gordon. It's a fact after Josh Gordon. Again, Brian Hoyer, if he's your backup quarterback, I think that's great. But people acting like Brian Hoyer is a savior-style quarterback, I think, are just missing the point. This team needs a franchise quarterback. You know what you have in Brian Hoyer. The opportunity now is to try to go out and find somebody who can be that guy for you. I'm not suggesting that the names we're throwing out there are the guy, but I'm saying that we know at this point, we don't know that they're not the guy. Where right. Brian Hoyer is in his career, he is what he is. And Brian Hoyer is a very good backup quarterback and a guy who could come in and can win you some games. And I know, so Josh Gordon coming back is now the downfall of Brian Hoyer. The fact of the matter is the guy has never completed 60% of his passes in a season. Even last year in 2013 when he did it, he did not. He struggled down the stretch. He has physical limitations with his arm. But is he a solid guy that can come in and win for you? Sure. But when you bring in Brian Hoyer and say, I'm going to name him my starter and he's my starter, you are not in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion, advancing this franchise in its one key area, which is finding and getting the quarterback of the future. That's just how I feel about it. I'm sorry. I don't know that Johnny Manziel is the future, but I know I can say for sure Brian Hoyer is not a long-term franchise quarterback. No. I believe that 100%. He's fine. He's a fine backup. And listen, as I said before, if you think that I'm crazy or you think Matt's crazy, he's going to be a free agent. And if he gets offers to get paid $5, $7, $10 million a year to be a starter somewhere, he's going to take those offers. I don't know that he's going to get such offers.
I agree. And in my perspective on Brian Hoyer, again, no knock against him. I feel like what Cleveland deserves is a guy that's going to be here for the next 3 to 5 years and win 10 games consistently. And we don't need a Band-Aid. We've been sold a Band-Aid at the quarterback position for how many years now? You know, oh, he's the next guy. You know, the Whedons. You know, and I think Hoyer fits that mentality. It's guys that are good, but not quite good enough to get it done. And we need a guy that we can go get it done, that is young, that is still has the prime of his career ahead of him. And because Brian Hoyer is 30 or almost 30, it's like, The best of his football and hit the best physically for Brian Hoyer might be in fact be behind him.
We will see. Gribble, we haven't heard from you on this topic.
I was sitting berated. Quietly Go here ahead. As yeah, you guys are getting louder and louder.
What do you think?
My thing is whoever they do bring in at quarterback, because it's either going to be Hoyer or it's going to be someone else, because you have to fill out the roster at some point. I don't see a situation where you bring someone in and immediately declare him the starter at that point.
Competition.
It's going to have to have competition. So, you know, with the way the season ended with Hoyer and Manziel, I just don't see how a guy like Mike Pettine will just automatically name a starter if the Browns do re-sign Brian Hoyer. So I think no matter who it is, whether it's Hoyer, you've listed Mallett, you've listed Foles or someone that, I don't even know if Nick Foles is at the level where if he came to Cleveland, do you call him your starter the first day?
I don't know. I don't think
any of those guys are at that status. So the way I view it is whoever you do bring in, it's going to be an open competition, and that may not attract certain free agents, certain guys. Even we've heard Brian Hoyer wants to be a starter in this league. Maybe that's not attractive to him. Maybe the other guys who are on, it's not attractive to them. You've got to find a guy who's willing to come in and be told he has to compete rather than he's going to start from day one.
And that's a comment that Brian Hoyer said he does not, in the middle of the season, that's a comment that came out of Brian Hoyer's mouth that he does not want to have to deal with. He wants to be the starter of a National Football League team, but yet all of us, whether we like Hoyer or we don't, say this roster, especially at the quarterback with Johnny Hoyer, someone else, a draft pick, Connor Shaw, who's still under contract, it's we want the hungriest quarterback who can go out and perform on Sundays and win us football games to be the leader.
And Brian Hoyer has produced victories, but I still that doesn't mean you can't upgrade the position, in my opinion. I know he's produced some victories, but at the same time, you know, in Atlanta, good quarterback play, the Browns win that game by 30. Get any quarterback play, you beat Indianapolis. There's no question about that. You beat the Indianapolis Colts at home, a team that went to the playoffs. If you get any kind of quarterback play in that one, they didn't get a first down in the entire third quarter against the Buffalo Bills. A game, again, the defense probably should have won. The Browns defense really turned it up over the second half of the season and played phenomenal, phenomenal football. At the beginning of the year, Brian Hoyer and the offense actually played pretty darn good football. I think overall, though, when you have limitations, it's going to catch up with you, and it did with Brian Hoyer and the Browns. I would love to say, listen, if he's great, who wants to be talking about this?
You know what?
I don't want to be talking about who the quarterback of the Browns is.
No, and it always does. And look at Johnny's off-the-field trouble. Josh Gordon's off-the-field trouble. They got away with it. We heard from Bruce Feldman. You get away with it. You think a certain way for so long until what? It all catches up to you. That's life. That's life in any business. And in this case, it's the National Football League. His skill level and the defenses he was playing, and oh, by the way, our schedule gets just a little bit better next year, okay? So we're not going to have those patty cakes for five games in a row in the middle of our season, you know, four of which we won, and of course we drop a lay an egg in Jacksonville, should have been five, but our schedule gets better, you know, gets so much better, and you want the guy that can compete and win those football games.
Andrew, you talked about the schedule. Why don't you give us you can get a full breakdown of the Browns' upcoming schedule and the toughness of it at clevelandbrowns.com. Andrew, what's in that article?
Well, I think the simple thing is how the schedule works. Obviously, the North is one of the toughest divisions in all of the NFL right now. So you get six games against the Ravens, Steelers, and Bengals, all of whom are going to be expecting to go back to the playoffs this coming season. But the big one is swapping out the Souths for the West. And you saw what the West did this past season in both conferences. It means you get the Broncos at home. You get the 49ers at home. But road trips to San Diego, that's a tricky place to play during the season. Going to Kansas City, which is one of the more hostile environments in the entire country in the NFL. And then, of course, you're going to Seattle to play the Seahawks, who have lost twice at home in the last 2 years. And you've got the Cardinals on the schedule, who are very good. I mentioned the 49ers. They didn't go to the playoffs this past year, but they're going to be expecting to go back this year. You know, really the only perceived layups on the schedule are the two matchups with the Titans and Jets. But those are two teams that, like the Browns, hope to be better next year. You know, the Titans could be breaking in a brand new quarterback, a coaching staff that's going to be there for a second season, feeling better about things. And the Jets are going to have a new coach, new life. You look at the Jets. Their defensive line in particular is very, very good.
One of the best in the league.
And so you think that they have to be better.
I mean, you can see Marcus Mariota in New York, potentially.
Yeah. I mean, it just shapes up to be just a rough slate, to the point where, you know, the Browns could be a better team next year and not reach the same record. I mean, that's one of those things where you have to be that much better. You have to be more than just like a significant step better. You've got to be much improved against this schedule.
Yes, you do. Check out all the great work as Andrew and Kevin Jones continue to go ahead and pump it out at clevelandbrowns.com. If you're on the road, just grab the Browns mobile app, download in the Apple or Android stores, and you can get their articles right there in the palm of your hand. Andrew, thanks so much.
Yeah, it's good stopping by.
Good stopping by as well. Always good to have you. When we come back, we'll continue to talk Brady Montana. We'll take your calls, 216-578-0850. The Friday forecast coming up and more here.
If anybody wants to call in and just try to rip me a new one over
Ryan, they're mad at you.
Go ahead.
They're mad at you.
I'm scared.
I got your back, Will.
You're 76, Lou Groza.
You're not
know
scared.
Where I'm at.
You're not scared. Just so I could say that. But I know that you're going to be okay anyway. You know there's no right.